Today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the life we have in Him. We live with the full knowledge of our Redeemer because He shed His blood on the cross, died, and rose from the dead. Jesus paid for our sins, and it is our joy to know Him personally as our Savior. I'm Mike Salem. It is a pleasure each week to introduce one of my dad's timeless messages. My dad, Pastor Salem, loves spreading the saving grace of Jesus Christ through his sermons and sharing the Word of God. I'm so glad I can share with you portions of letters that are written to CWH. From Oklahoma, I found your ministry about 3 years ago. Pastor provided me the path back to Jesus through his teachings of the Word. I now have a relationship again with Jesus. I look forward to seeing Pastor in heaven someday so I can thank him. And a note from Florida reads, "Thank you for the continuation of Pastor Salem's sermons. God's Word is always fresh and new. My heart finds new depth in the scriptures that I have heard before. God bless your ministry." We hope today's Easter service, the Savior as the risen Lord, will be of encouragement to you. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And I really want to welcome you today because this is Easter Sunday, high point in the Christian year when we think of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. And because He was raised, all of our loved ones who've died in the Lord going to be raised, they'll be raised also. And if we die before the Lord comes, He'll raise us. Otherwise, we'll be taken bodily into the air to meet the Lord in the air. And it's all because of the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so St. Paul tells us, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And, oh, God, we thank you for Jesus. And we thank you that he came and died on that cross. And he was buried, and for 3 days and three nights he was in the heart of the earth. And then that glorious first day of the week, he was raised from the dead, and he'll never die again. And when we trust him, we have that same hope. We might die, but we'll be raised from the grave just like Jesus was, because he has the power. So we rejoice today, and we pray you'll bring rejoicing and happiness to everyone who worships with us today. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have Easter because we have the cross and then the burial and then the resurrection, and it's all the amazing grace of Jesus Christ, our wonderful God. And that's what Melissa's going to sing about, amazing grace. And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, with no less days to ring God praise than when we first begun. We've no less days to sing God praise than when we first begun.
Well, thank you, Melissa. And you know the wonderful thing about Christianity? Christianity is the only one that has the word grace. The grace of God that sent his Son, and Jesus paid for our sins and was raised from the dead. And oh, we just praise God because that wonderful grace is ours today. And no matter what we've done, no matter how badly we've sinned, we come to Jesus. He says that he'll wash away all our sins in the blood of Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin, and the hope of the resurrection can be your hope too. That's what we're praying for today. Well, we have some nice letters, and by the way, if you want to locate the Bible reference, we're going to read from John chapter 20. And it's where Mary is at the tomb. It's a thrilling story of the resurrection of Jesus that first Easter Sunday morning. But we do want to thank you for the letters, and we are going to share some of them today. We read every letter we get, and if it's a spiritual problem, we help you with that as best we can. And so we just thank you for writing, and we thank you for the gifts that make all this possible. We have a letter from Spencer, Iowa, and they write, "Your program has led me to a greater love for God and a greater love for my dear Savior, Jesus Christ. I have more trust and thankfulness in my heart." And so, that's what happens when you preach the Word of God. It draws us closer to God. That's where the power is in the Bible, the wonderful Bible. And that's what we preach in every Sunday. Every week we preach in the wonderful Word of God. Now here's a letter from San Jose, California. And I want you all to listen to this because they're writing about the Christians who are being persecuted. They write, "I also appreciate the prayers that Pastor Salem offers for persecuted Christians around the world. To that end, I wanted to let you know that I am a Syrian American and would like to request special prayers for my people in Iraq and Syria. As you know, since June 2014, when ISIS took over Mosul, that is the old Nineveh, and later in August, the surrounding towns, almost all Assyrians who are Christians became displaced. In Syria, ISIS took hundreds of Assyrians hostage in March and August of 2015. The Assyrian Church of the East in Syria, with the help of Assyrian Church of the East Relief Organization, has been working hard to secure their release. Some have been released, but there are still hundreds that remain hostage, mostly women and children. Pray for the rest of the hostages to be released unharmed." And we're going to stop right this minute, and we're going to pray for these dear people. And so, Heavenly Father, our prayers go out especially for those dear brothers and sisters in Syria and Iraq. And, oh God, the poor little children displaced and bewildered. And I know, God, I know you love those little children because you took them and blessed them when you were here. and that you get a special love upon those people. But we're praying that they'll be released and to work it out and go back to their homes and back to their families. And that's our prayer, and we just look to you to take care of them. I know you will, dear Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And then we have a letter from Cheyenne, Wyoming. And this man writes, I sold a week of my vacation back so I could have some cash to get things I need. I'm sending 10% of it with my tithe since it is a tithe also. Take care and we shall see you Sunday. And so here's a man, he's tithing. And you know, tithing is scriptural. Jesus says in Matthew, he says you ought to tithe and you ought to have justice and mercy and all the rest too. But tithes is 10%. You ought to consider doing that because it's scriptural. And that means you're putting God first above everything else. You're putting God first. Here's Staten Island, New York. Thank you for your wonderful service. I love listening. My best friend's granddaughter, 23 years old, committed suicide, and she was a dedicated Christian. Could you please send her the book on suicide so she might be consoled? Thank you, and God bless you. And we'll send scriptures, all those scriptures where we're told that though our sins are paid, and suicide is a sin, but it's under the blood of Christ. And that girl is with in the presence of the Lord. As she knew Jesus, she's with Jesus, just as sure as the Bible is the Word of God. Here's Alcester, South Dakota. My husband was on dialysis for 7 years, so there were many Sundays we couldn't go to church because we did the dialysis treatment at home. We always sat together to hear your word. He went to live with his Lord on February 28, 2015. He couldn't walk because of strokes also. His one last wish here on earth was to walk again. It brings me joy to know he is now running the bases and enjoying walking with God and his angels in heaven. And you bet he is. And he'll never have another stroke. And he'll never have another dialysis treatment. That's the beauty of this gospel we have. This wonderful salvation that gives us to that place where there's no tears and no parting and no sorrow and no sin. Oh, God, won't that be something? And then here's Santa Ana, Texas. And they write, because of your program, my 88-year-old dad is able to go to church every Sunday. He has influenced his entire family with it. Several unsaved souls have come to know Christ after exposure to the Christian worship hour. May God bless you and the ministry. And I just want all of you to know that are praying and giving. And some of you can't give, you're just destitute. But you can pray, and some of you can give. And you've had a part in bringing this man to the Lord and many others as they listen to the service. He gets them in to hear the service, and they open their hearts to Jesus. That's what it's all about. And that's all, it's God at work. It isn't a thing we're doing. We're just singing the praises and telling the word. And the Holy Spirit of God is picking up the Word of God, and he goes all over the world, and he brings people to Jesus. Wow, that is the most wonderful work in the world, and you're a part of it. So stay with it until Jesus comes again. Here's a letter from Missouri. I've listened to your ministry for several years now. I listen to you, and then I go to my home church. I want to thank you for your ministry of the truth of God's holy word. I thank you that you and your people are humble and down to earth. You don't have a $1 million stage, nor do you folks dress in fancy clothes and make up with jewels. I see that you are selfless and your money goes to the ministry of our Lord for his kingdom's sake. That's exactly right. We're just everyday people. I was raised on the farm. I'm a child of the Depression. We lost our farm in the Depression, but we didn't lose Jesus. And so we're dirt poor. I know what it's like. And so we're just everyday people, and we're just preaching the Bible in everyday language as best we can. And the Holy Spirit says, that's good enough. You just mouth it so that people hear it, and I'll spread it all over the world, and I'll apply it, and I'll use it like a sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. That Spirit of God, that Word of God, sharp, that pierces to hearts. And maybe right now, God's talking to you and saying, you ought to get right with God. You've never asked Jesus into your life, and you ought to do it. Easter Sunday, what better time could it be? And you just pray, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins, and I'll follow the best I can. Jesus taught repentance to turn to him, and he told the woman to just go and sin no more. And that doesn't mean she's going to be perfect, but it means go and you live for me the best you can. And when you have Jesus in your heart, you'll want to do that. And then you thank him. Thank him for saving you. Then tell somebody and write to us. We'll send you some scripture. Oh, it's glorious. It's the most wonderful thing in the world. People coming to Jesus. And one more that I have here is from Pierce, South Dakota. Good old South Dakota, our capital city. We have attended our church faithfully for many, many years. Since my husband, age 89, had a severe fall, we have been going to church with you. We are always blessed by your sermons and songs, and thank you also for the new song. And the new song is a little publication we put out every month, and in the new song is a little Bible study. And if you want to get that, you can write in. This month, the month of April, we're going to have a little study on My Prayer for You, a pastor's prayer for his people. And I think you'll enjoy it. You'll see what the pastor's heart is, what I'm praying, and what your pastor's praying for you. And you write to us. Let me give the address right now. It's the Christian Worship Hour. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can get us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And then you can send a gift to us. You can write to us. We'd like to have some of your letters. Maybe we can share your letters. And then you can also send a gift. Now, and I'm going to say something about he's saying here, you're not spending it on a lot of jewels and things. You know, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and they audit our books. They audit every penny we take in, and we receipt every penny we take in, and then we spend it. And the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability checks to see if we spend it where we say we're going to spend it. We could be having a big old party and nobody know it, but this Evangelical Council, they watch us like a hawk. And that doesn't make us nervous at all because everything's above board. Now, if we were doing some fancy, you know, a little on the side, we'd be scared to death. I'd be stuttering up here instead of talking. But we're just as clean as a hound's tooth. And if you want our budget, we'll send our budget. And we'll send you, tell you whatever, everything you want. But you just pray for us and help us in the work. And then we have a little book that we're putting out now. And it's a little booklet. Can a Christian lose their salvation? That is, can you know for sure you're going to heaven? And just this last week, I got a letter from a lady in her 90s, and she said, could you help me with some scripture? I think I'm saved, but I don't know if I'm saved. Well, I'm going to tell you, friends, if you don't know, you need to know, because all eternity hangs in the balance, heaven and hell. And if you don't have Jesus, you're going to have hell. That's all. That's what Jesus said. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus. I'm the way, he said. And so you ask Jesus to come into your heart. He'll save you from your sins. And then you write to us. We'll send you some scripture, and we'll send you some help to get you going. But we have this little booklet now, and it has all these reasons. It's all scriptures, not dreams and visions and suppositions. It's just all scripture. And you can write to us. I'll give you that address there. You see, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Just put salvation. We'll send you one. And if you can send a donation to help us in the cost, that's fine. If you don't have a nickel, we get people from prison. They don't have money. We send them one just the same. And then if you don't have any money and you want a booklet, you want the assurance, you write to us. We'll send it free and postpaid. How can you beat that? And the rest of you all, you stand by. The only income we have is from God's people. And so now we're going to pray. And we're going to pray that God will just show you what to give, guide you in your direction. And, you know, if he wants this to continue, he'll supply. And if he doesn't want it, we don't want to waste our time. But we believe this is of God, and so it's in your hands. So we're going to pray, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for those who have given so faithfully now for over 38 years. And we never had a time we couldn't pay our bills. And we thank you for those now, Lord, that are standing by in this day and age. A lot of those other people gone on to heaven, gone on to their reward. And now you're raising up new people all the time, new brothers and sisters in Christ, and they're helping us. And we're going on, and we're going into all the world with a glorious gospel. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Well, we're reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, beginning with the 11th verse. Jesus has died on the cross. He's been buried. He's been in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. And now it's Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning, and Mary comes to the tomb. And that's where our lesson starts. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord. I know not where they have laid him. And when she had said this, she turned herself back, and saw Jesus standing, and knew not it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And she turned herself, and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Oh, God, we hardly know how to pray. We're so thrilled at this resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was dead, and he was in the tomb, but he was raised by the power of God, and he'll never die again. And evil, ugly hands will never touch him again. They drove the spikes, and they did all the rest, but enemy hands never, ever touched him. Once he was on that cross and the spear put in his side, it was loving hands that took him down. And oh God, we thank you that his son came and that he paid that price, that full price, with the shedding of blood. And then he is raised. And we thank you that as he was raised from the dead, so shall all of those who trust you and die in the Lord will be raised from the dead. And we will be raised, and we will be with you forever and ever, and there'll never come a time we'll die again, and there'll never be sorrow and suffering again. All to your praise and all to your glory. Dear Lord, we always pray for some of our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world that's suffering, and we're praying for those in China today. We know there are Christian people that are suffering, some of them being put to death and all of them living under stress, and yet they stand true to you. They just will not bow their knee to Satan. They will not deny their precious Lord, and they'll pay the price, and God bless them, and they'll wear the martyr's crown. And oh, we just pray, oh God, that we would be that strong. I pray I'd be that strong. And maybe it'll come, I don't know. But whatever it is, we love you, Lord. And we pray for those brothers and sisters in China. Help them to know that the family of God prays for them all over the world. Right now, we're all over the world, we're praying for those in China. And give them strength to be true and help them through the hard times. We know that you will. And glory will be there someday. So now bless us, Lord, as we continue this service and as we keep our eyes on the risen Christ, the wonderful Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. Hank is a song, a beautiful song. He grew the tree. And God bless you, Hank.
He molded and built a small, lonely hill that he knew would be called Calvary. Then he made the seed that would grow to be that would make his son bleed. Then he made a green stem, gave it leaves, and then gave it sunshine and rain, and sheltered it with mold. He knew would be used to make the old rugged cross. Nothing took his life, with love he gave it. He was crucified on a tree that he created. With great love for man, God stayed with his plan. He grew the tree so that we might go free. With tears in his eyes, God looked down through time, saw him spat upon, rejected, and mourned. Oh, but still he grew the tree that he knew would be used to make the on a tree that He created with great love for man. God stayed with His plan. He grew the tree so that we might go free. He grew the tree. To make the old rugged cross.
Well, thank you, Hank. God bless you. Always appreciate your singing. And we're talking about this wonderful Jesus Christ and about this wonderful Resurrection Day, Easter, and all over Christendom, all over the world, the celebration goes on. Many saw Jesus after the resurrection from the dead. At least 500 saw the risen Christ at one time, as one group saw the risen Christ. But in this 20th chapter of St. John's Gospel, we have the one woman that opens the story. And I'm going to tell you something. It makes all of us men jealous. But the woman was the first one to see the resurrected Christ. The woman is Mary Magdala. And tradition has it that she'd been a scarlet woman. Perhaps she was, perhaps she wasn't, I don't know. But at any rate, it was out of this woman that Jesus had cast seven demons. Having done that for her, Mary's love for Jesus never wavered a bit, never failed, ever, ever. And so Jesus has forgiven us so much. We ought to be the same way, but so many times we accept Jesus, then we live our own life and we're self-centered. We forget what He's done for her, but Mary, God bless her, had never forgotten for a moment. Jesus had done something for her that no man could ever do. He had delivered her from the demons. He had forgiven all her sins. Mary could never forget that. Mary had indeed sinned much, but she'd been forgiven much. And because she'd been forgiven much, she never failed Jesus. And here she is, the first one at the tomb. Really, love was all that Mary had to bring that day to the tomb that morning. There was nothing else, but as the day broke, she was there. She was there to look for the body of the Lord to give her a decent burial. In the 19th chapter of St. John's Gospel, we see two men who loved a lot. They were Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, and they were powerful men in Israel. They were both members of the prestigious Sanhedrin. They were men of quite some means. And they both loved the Lord Jesus. These two men had gone directly to Pilate. They had begged for His body. They had taken the body down from the cross. They had given a hurried burial for the body, and that is, they had long strips of cloth they'd wrap around that body, and they'd pour in spices. Sometimes they'd pour in 100 pounds of spices in as they embalmed that body the way they did then. And they had hurriedly done that because the Sabbath is drawing nigh and they can't do any such thing on the Sabbath. The body had been placed in Joseph's tomb and it had been secured by the seal of Rome. It had been guarded by Roman soldiers. It had all the enemies of Jesus come to inspect and check for sure that that stone was rolled and couldn't be taken away. But it was all for naught because after 3 days and three nights Jesus came. He rose from the dead just exactly the way he said. He said, you tear down this temple, and in 3 days I'll build it again. He's talking about His body. Remember that, my friend of mine. Jesus always does as He says. If He says something, He will do it. You can count on it. He says He will save us to the uttermost, and He will save us to the uttermost. He says he'll never leave us or forsake us, and he never will leave us or forsake us. He says he'll love us with an everlasting love, and he has an unconditional everlasting love for his people. He says he's going to take us to heaven when we die, and when we die, he'll take us to heaven. He always keeps his word. He does exactly as he says. The chapter opens with a statement that on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. The first day of the week is Sunday. That's why we worship on Sunday. It's the resurrection day. It's a day of a new dispensation. And the early church met on Sunday. And it began right here. Mary comes and it's still dark, but she can see that someone has rolled away that stone. And so she assumes that somebody has come during the night, rolled away the stone, and stolen the body of Jesus. Mary, it seems, didn't investigate. Instead, she ran to Simon Peter and to John. And then, and it is interesting, Peter had denied the Lord Jesus three times. He'd gone out into the night to weep bitterly. And where had he gone? The only place we're told in all the Bible, he had gone to John's house with Mary and was staying with Mary. John said to Peter, he was brokenhearted, and John said, John had a heart, and he says, Peter, come to my house. Stay with me tonight. And that's where he was, and this is the only place in the Bible we find that. But what if Peter, John had taken him to his home, and Mary and the mother of our Lord was there. Mary, thinking that Jesus is dead, runs and tells the two men, and we're told in the second verse, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb. We do not know where they have laid him. Immediately, then Peter and John run to the tomb. They don't saunter along. They don't jog along. They run full speed. And John gets there first. And that by that, we assume that he's younger than Peter. At any rate, he'd beat Peter. And when he gets there, he looks in there. And Peter, John looks in and he sees the linen cloths lying in verse 5. He didn't go in. He saw little more than Mary did, though. And then Peter comes, and when Peter gets there, he doesn't look in, he runs in. He goes right into the tomb, and he didn't stand outside. He goes into the tomb, and that encouraged the boldness of Peter, and also went into the tomb. So that Peter and that, and then John, also encouraged by Peter, goes into the tomb. And so there you have the three of them, Peter, John, and Mary. As John looks, he sees the grave clothes undisturbed. They're like a cocoon, and the headcloth folded neatly and lying by. That could not have been a grave robbery, because the garments were in perfect order, never touched. They were just the way that body had just left them, and they were in perfect condition. G. Campbell Morgan says, Peter saw the grave clothes and they had been wound about the body of Jesus with all the spices in the windings, undisturbed, except that those wound around the body had fallen flat. They were unwound, but they were not unwound. The most significant statement is that the napkin was lying by itself separately and that it was still in the folds as it had been on around the head of Jesus. Jesus had risen right through the grave clothes. The stone was rolled away with an earthquake, not to let Jesus Christ out, but it was rolled away because they wanted people to see that he could go in and see that about this being empty. The stone was rolled away, not to let Jesus out, but to prove that he was gone, and the body was gone, and he was risen. There can be no question about it. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. It isn't an old wives' table, it's history. Precisely risen as he said. However, John is honest in reporting. And he didn't said they didn't realize about the resurrection. They didn't dream that he was going to come back to life again. In the 9th verse, John says, for as yet they didn't know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Jesus had told them about the resurrection, but they never ever caught it. They never really believed it. They never understood that he was talking coming from the dead, because after all, who comes from the dead? But that's what Jesus taught. They didn't get back, and they didn't understand it. They didn't comprehend it. And so then Peter and John go back home. But Mary didn't go back home. And Mary stays there. And John writes in the 11th verse, Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. So the men leave. But Mary, who loved so much, stays on. She didn't go. Then she peers into the tomb and she sees the two angels, one at the head and one at the feet. And so she looks and sees these angels. And the angels ask her, and they say in the 13th verse, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Now, ordinarily, that would have scared the socks off of a person. It scared the poor old shepherds half to death when the angels talk to them out of heaven. But Mary doesn't bat an eye. She talks to the angels, and she is intent on finding the body of Jesus, and she doesn't care if there's angels or not. She wants that body to give it a decent burial. And so she tells the angels, they're saying, "Why are you weeping?" And she says, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." And this poor dear woman, she's saying here, she says, "Their stone is rolled away. They've taken away the Lord out of the tomb." And she says, and the absolute term is the Lord. Now listen to this, friends. He's dead, but he's still her Lord. When he's alive, he's her Lord. And when he's dead, he's still her Lord. That doesn't change anything. And Mary Magdalene was true until death and beyond it. She had thought about how those demons were cast out of her body and how that she loved the Lord Jesus and loved his teaching and had never changed a bit. And when the men were gone, she was still there. And during the years, she had loved him and followed him, but now he is dead and she's lost even his body. And that's why she thought she'd start looking to try to find my Lord. Where is her body? Where is the body? And this is what she said. "They have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." Then Mary turns from the grave to face a man standing behind her, and it's Jesus, and she doesn't recognize him. She's weeping. Her eyes are full of tears. She's not even looking at him, and she's thinking not about a living Lord. She's thinking about a body. She's looking for a corpse, and Jesus asks the question, "Why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And Mary turns around, thinking it's the gardener, and she sends something very amusing in a way. She says, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him. I will take him away." I say it's amusing because she says she'll take him away. How's she going to carry a dead body? It's impossible. And where's she going to take him anyway? But this is what she says. "Tell me where they laid him, and I will take him away." You see, Mary isn't calculating anything. She's not reasoning at all. She loves Jesus Christ, dead or alive, and she wants his body for a decent burial. And that's the way our love ought to be. Whether we understand how we can get it done or not, we ought to start out on it. If he's called us, we ought to be so strong that we stand in the face of any odds. Nothing should stop us from following Jesus Christ and serving him. And if you don't understand why certain things are happening in your life, you move on anyway and you stay at your point and never question God. I hear these preachers saying, it's all right to question God. It isn't all right to question God. Not in my book and not in Mary's book. And she's going to carry him away and put him someplace. She can't do either one, but she knows what she's coming to do. And she's going to take care of that body. And so she's crying and she's sobbing and she's looking at the grave. And Jesus is behind her and he says, "Mary." And she turned and said unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Did you notice that? Mary was looking at the grave and not at Jesus. He was standing behind her. She was looking at the grave. She was weeping and crying her heart out. She's breaking her heart, and she doesn't see Jesus till he talks to her. And I think that tells us something about death. When our loved one is taken away, don't just look at the coffin, but look at Jesus. Oh, shed your tears and have your heartache, but put your eyes on Jesus. Mary is weeping and looking at the tomb. No wonder she doesn't see Jesus. No wonder she doesn't get help. But when she turns and Jesus kindly just mentions her name, and she sees Jesus. And that's what we have to do, my dear friends, in life. Barclay puts it like this. He says, she couldn't recognize Jesus because she insisted on facing the wrong direction. She could not take her eyes off the tomb, so she had her back to Jesus. Again, it is often with us, as such a time when our eyes are upon the old, cold earth of the grave, we must wrench our eyes away from that. That is not where our loved ones are. Their worn-out bodies may be there, but the real person is in the heavenly places, in the fellowship of Jesus, face to face, and in the glory of God. And when we die and a loved one dies, oh, my friend, let's shed our tears, but let's not solder our eyes on that coffin, but turn to Jesus. Look the other way. Get your eyes on Jesus. Oh, my friend, I remember reading this story because this wonderful Lord Jesus, you see, he's in heaven. And we're going to be in heaven with him, and there'll be no parting. And I said, just keep your eyes on Jesus all the time. I read about a father and a son, and they were very close in their relationship. And the father grew older and more feeble, and the son watched over him. And on one occasion, the father was not well, and the boy was called to go out of town, and he didn't want to leave his father. And his father said this, his old man told his son, you'll go right ahead. Your work demands it. And remember, if I'm not here when you get back, you'll know where to find me. That's the beauty of the Christian faith. That's why I love to preach, because those who love Jesus never part for the last time. There's always another getting together. I get letters all the time. You lost your spouse, you lost your child, you lost your best friend. Well, if they knew Jesus Christ, I got a message for you. You're going to see them again. I'm going to see my wife, Beulah, again, and my mother, and my dear, blessed mother and father. And remember that, dear friends. Don't look at the grave. Look at Jesus, the beautiful Savior. That's what Easter is telling us. Death is not the end. It was when Jesus was in the grave. And Peter said, I'm going fishing. That is, Peter was a fisherman by trade. And he's saying, he's dead. And I'm going to leave and I'm going back to my old business, my old calling. He gave up all hope. But we don't give up all hope because Jesus Christ isn't in that tomb. He's at the right hand of the throne of God. And that's where we need to put our eyes. And that wonderful, it'll make all the difference in the world, how we live and how we die, if we keep our eyes on Jesus. So Mary meets him. And then we go from the garden scene to the upper room. And in the 19th chapter, Jesus talks about the upper room. That same day in the evening, the Lord's day, the first day of the week, the disciples are behind closed doors. They're outside the city, outside in the city. They locked out the city because outside the city, they're crucifying Christians. They crucified Jesus. Maybe they'll do the same thing for them. They didn't know. How would they know? And so they lock the doors. The doors are bolted. And they are just worrying and they're praying and they're wondering, what are we going to do? And then Jesus appears in their midst. The doors are bolted and locked and closed and heavy and iron can be. and Jesus in the moment's time is there, passes through them and is in their presence. And Jesus talks to them and he tells them several things. He tells them, first of all, he gives them peace. Jesus says to them, the risen Christ tells to them, peace be unto you. Jesus is always doing that. He's always giving peace to troubled souls. My daughter is gone. My son is on drugs. My husband is dead. What I don't know what all it is. I lost my job, but whatever it is. And I can tell them, oh, listen, just lean on Jesus. You got to trust Jesus because he loves you. And so he gives them peace. And then he gives them proof for the resurrection. He shows them the nail prints in his hands, in his side. He shows them the scar made by the spear. And the disciples are convinced at last that Jesus is, it is surely Jesus. It is not somebody else. It's not somebody in disguise, but it's the wonderful Savior. He gives them proof. And then he gives them some orders. And he tells them, as the Father sent me, so send I you. When we receive Jesus, he expects us to go out and to tell others. He tells us to be good witnesses for Jesus Christ. We're not to keep it to ourselves. He doesn't need anybody in the secret service. He needs us openly confessing Christ. And that's why I urge you, when you accept Jesus Christ, tell somebody. Well, I'm ashamed. Why are you ashamed? You're ashamed because the devil makes you ashamed. You ashamed of Jesus? You can't talk like that. And so he expects us at home or abroad, wherever he leads, wherever he calls, he gives us this wonderful order, so send I you. And then he gives a prophecy. And in the 22nd verse of the 20th chapter, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now that was a prophetic breathing. It was something that was going to take place later. And it was going to take place, and he says, I give you the Holy Spirit. But that was a prophecy, because at Pentecost, then the Holy Spirit came with the rushing wind and the tongues of fire, and the Holy Spirit was given, just as Jesus prophesied. And let me tell you something. When that Holy Spirit enters into a Christian, he never, ever leaves us. After Pentecost, you never read of the Holy Spirit leaving a Christian. The Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came on Saul and left Saul, and he didn't know it. But as a new dispensation, it's that Jesus Christ has now paid for the sins of the world, and they're all settled. And so now the Holy Spirit is given, and he will be with us. He prophesies, and he empowers us. And then he says, I want you to go into all the world, and I'm going to tell you how you can do it. That wonderful Holy Spirit dwelling within you, he'll give you the power, he'll give you the strength, he'll give you the ability to do it. How can we carry on the Christian worship hour? We wouldn't know the first thing about doing it. And the Holy Spirit says, you do this and you do that, and you trust me here and you do the other thing. And we do it, and the Word of God goes out, and people are saved and Christians are helped. And that's part of our ministry. Comfort ye, my people. And all of the suffering saints around the world, we're to bring comfort, and there is comfort in the risen Christ. He is there, and he is risen, and he is with you when you trust in him. But you have to have Jesus. The first step in all the whole thing is you have to be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus, how can that be? And Jesus says, you have to open your heart to the Savior. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. You have to ask Jesus into your heart. You say, I never prayed before. I don't know what to pray. You don't need to pray. You just talk to Jesus and say, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner, and I believe you died for my sins, and I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins, and I'll serve you the best I can, and I love you, Jesus, and thank him. That's what you got to do. Now, if you did that, you write to us. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We'll send you some scripture. If you want that pamphlet, you write to us. If you want the new song, write to us. If you want us to have a letter to encourage us in the work, write to us. And then also help us in the work. We got to pay our way just like anybody else. We're not underwritten by any organization or denomination or corporation. We're underwritten by the people of God all over the world. And you can give through your gift through the ChristianWorshipHour.com. Just be sure that you pray for us. Now we're going to pray for you as we close this service today. And we're going to pray that God will help you to come to Jesus. And we're going to pray for those of you that are struggling and hurting. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this Easter Sunday, for the risen Christ who is alive. And he lives in our hearts by faith in Jesus Christ. He lives within us, and you'll never leave us or forsake us. And so we're praying, Lord, for those who have just prayed to accept you. Oh, give them strength. Help them read St. John's Gospel. Help them to write to us. And to those on beds of sickness and those who are suffering and struggling and lonely and hurting, Lord, and discouraged to no end because the devil attacks us when we're down. Bless them and comfort them and give them the peace of God and help them to lean on you, the wonderful Savior. And you said, I'll be with you to the end of the age, and you always keep your word. Oh, God, thank you. We love you so much. And thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to thank all of you for being with us today. Thank you for opening your door for us. Thank you for praying. Thank you for helping. Be sure to tell others about Jesus and get them to hear the gospel so they can come to know Jesus. Lean on Jesus. Jesus loves you, and so do we. God bless you till next weekend. In Jesus' name, amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.